a policy on long-term care, and also as a member of the a board member of the Pioneer Network. He's been an incredible advocate in paradigm change in the culture of how we care for the aging. He is a spiritual leader. He's a strategist. He's the CEO of Metal Ark Hills in Manhattan, Kansas. He has been the creator and curator of something called the Household Model, which is a paradigm change in taking care of the late age adults. He also is an author, co-author of a book. I saw him giggling when Chris Crowley said that co-authors had to arrive in separate cars. Steve, how are you doing? But he is co-author of In Pursuit of the Sunbeam. And this is a seminal book that you want to read if you're talking about, and everybody is, about what we're going to do with the state of the nation in terms of how we care for late-age people. I would like to introduce you to my friend and mentor, Mr. Steve Shields.
Thank you, Bill. Can you hear me okay? I've really been enjoying today. In fact, my head's so full from it, I've forgotten everything I was going to say. And I'm not kidding. But it's all connected, and that's what I want to really share, is this whole concept of how we age is all up for grabs now. It's all up for grabs because our imagination is beginning to open in terms of what really is possible. We've been such deficit thinkers about age, and there's some ugly, ugly examples of it. But we're starting to discover and begin to imagine and rehearse. We're in the rehearsal stage that really age can be a great time of growth. It can be a great time of actualization. And just like every other stage in life, it has gains and losses. From the moment we come out of our mother's womb, you know, we have an immediate gain. The whole world is suddenly there. But we also have a very deep loss, this safety and comfort and warmth that we'll never find again. And for some reason, we block out of our minds or our awareness that every stage is fraught with loss, and every stage of life is fraught with growth and opportunity, and that never ends. Not even at death. It's another birth. So what we're hearing through today, but we're also starting to hear around us, is what I think are awakenings that are beginning to occur, and we have yet to find a wholeness with it. And that's what I want to visit with you about today, because we're hearing a lot of different thoughts. In fact, it's hard to know how to settle ourselves with it. And the answer to that is we're just not. We're not going to settle ourselves. We're just going to get on for the ride. The first week that I was hired by Metal Ark Hills, I went and got my mom out of the most god-awful nursing home I've ever seen in my life. And I felt like a dutiful son who had rescued his mother. And what I learned really at her deathbed was that I just continued her sentence. I just helped give her a lighter one. Because we were deficiency free. We had the CCRC with the crystal chandelier in the lobby, and the resident council, and the committee for this and the committee for that, and then down at the end of the hall, around the corner in the back, were two sets of double doors. And on the other side of that was a deficiency-free One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So age is this thing, you know, like we have these stages in life, you know, where we're adults, we're all of us adults, and we think our job is to drive down the highway. Stay in between the lines, build the bridges, maintain them, and that is our job. But our real job, that's our ultimate measure that we'll be remembered for, not only in our families, but as an entire generation together, is how well do we help people get on the on-ramp, and how well do we help them get off the off-ramp to get on the blue highways and the rest stop. That's our measure. And as adults, if you really look seriously at us, if we look at ourselves, we're lethal. We're lethal. Because if you take stock of how we're helping people get off that ramp, and if that's our measure, we're lethal to the human spirit. And it's all because we're afraid of it. That's why we have those double doors. We're afraid of it. We're afraid of loss of control. We're afraid of loss of self. We're afraid we're going to get forgotten and that everything we ever did won't mean a damn thing. So we push it off to the side. And all of our marketing people help us do that by encouraging us not to mention it. Don't give tours of it unless they specifically ask. Does this sound familiar to anybody? I want to describe this. How many are familiar with the household model? Okay. I'm not going to go into a huge amount of detail because you've probably heard some of the basic tenets of it. But I do want to describe some things because it isn't just about, here's what's worrying me is everybody thinks that our organization, or if you're talking about the change or transformation of your organizational culture, that you're just talking about the nursing home. And you're not. We're not. It changes the entire organization beyond the walls of the place. And I'll get to that in a minute. But I want to describe a few things to you that are personal to me that demonstrate the power of this. What the household model, the first indicator I had that it was going to be bigger than simply, and that's a very relative word, simply changing the lives of everybody here, which the change has been profound and dramatic for my own father and for hundreds of others just in our town. But I remember describing it to the independent community, seeking their permission to change directions and create the household model. And I remember trying to be persuasive about it. And I remember saying to them, if you ever need healthcare, your life will be so much better. And a man stood up, who later donated $250,000 towards it. He stood up and said, it won't just make my life better if I move there. And in fact, he did, and he died there. It makes my life better now just thinking about it. And a week later, this woman had a massive stroke and lost her entire left side. And the other daughter, who lived in Manhattan, where Metalark is, brought her mother. And it just so happened it was in the first 2 weeks where we had created this household where people will get up when they want, eat what they want, decide what will happen to their day, and decide together what the house rules will be in that house, with a front door and a doorbell and a living room and a dining room and a kitchen. And she was in her bedroom. And her daughter really got it because she brought all the things that she knew her mother loved, which many families don't. And the room was gussied up. And she was lying there in the bed on her first evening. And have you ever sobbed so deeply that you can't talk? Do you know that? You know that feeling? Well, one of the team members in the house went into a room, knocked, and went into a room. And this woman, I'll call her Margaret, was laying there absolutely still, but had a frozen look of horror on her face. And so the staff person said, "What's the matter?" And Margaret said, "I'm lonely." Can you feel it? And in our old place, no one would have asked. No one would have had time to ask. And Yutama took off her shoes and climbed into bed with her and rested her neck there and said, "I love you.
I'll stay with you. And she stayed there until she went to sleep.